I hate this. I hate this episode the most out of anything we've ever done.
Why? I'm actually having the most fun.
The following show contains adult content. Sexual situations, nasty language, and a good fucking time. Mindfire.
Have you been injured in an accident that was probably your fault? Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferndorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage, and Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine, and they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maverick Matthews, and you are listening to Mindfire only on KTLK Fringe FM. This week, I have a brand new Dystopia Now episode featuring guest Nick Hinton. He and I talk about some of the things that are going on in this dystopia. Also, if you would like to access some of the older episodes, they are now being moved to fringe.fm. Look for the link there on the Mindfire page. You can check out our archive. All the episodes will be there, so they'll be easy to access. Also, at a new time, 4 hour earlier now, 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. All right, without any further ado, here is another episode of Dystopia Now with Maverick Matthews and Nick Honky Tonk Hinton. Finally, please visit my website, maverickmatthews.com, for more information and to purchase my new book, The Wreath of Madness, featuring a story about Nick ranching miniature zebras, and you will hear us talk about that in this episode. All right, I love you. Check it out. Mindfire.
All the things that we like and hate and fear, they're all there on the internet. They're a projection of our limbic system.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
We're going to keep pushing back the frontier of space and keep opening new doors of discovery, opportunity, and progress. The stories won't be science fiction.
The United States government has issued a civil warning for all citizens of the United States. This is not a drill, and this is not a test.
Okay, I will destroy you.
I try to convince people to slow down. Slow down AI. To regulate AI. This was futile.
Hold on, I want to say that again. We're recording now, by the way. You've been warned. I actually have to tell you, I have a subscription program called Tony Magic. It's only $1,099, and it is one 20-minute session where I teach you real Tony Magic.
You expect me to say the same joke that we just did?
That's called acting, Tony.
I'm not an actor, Tones. I'm not trying anymore.
That's okay? Not true. You don't have to try to be an actor. That's all. Just ask Armie Hammer.
I just want to be a real guy. You know, it is funny, though, that there was a woman on Twitter who had a Patreon. Her top tier was $50,000. And she said, if anyone buys this top tier, I'll just shut down my Twitter and shut up forever. Someone bought it.
Seriously? Someone bought it. Seriously?
What? Yeah.
Should we do that?
No, you retard. I don't think anyone cares that much.
Yeah, but who cares about her? You don't even know her name. And we're going to make our top tier much more expensive. 500.
Also not women. I mean, I think there's a we're lot also of rich not guys women. Out there that want... What?
Did you say we're also not women?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of rich guys out there that just want them to, you know, shut up. And I don't think that they're really caring. They're not paying attention to our podcast.
Oh, my God. Are you really telling me that a misogynist just paid her to be like, shut up?
I really think that's what happened.
Are you serious?
Probably some rich misogynist. Wow, he's like, your political takes are bad.
Fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could just have worse and worse political takes and just be like, hey, $2 million. We split it each 50-50. $1 million apiece. We'll be quiet.
I don't know, Tony.
Right now, right now, at my website, maverickmatthews.com, there is a tip link. And if you tip us $2 million. I will give Nick $1 million, and you will never hear from me online again. I'll tell you that right now. And guess what? In our economy, with $46 eggs, that's bargain basement prices for silence. So
right.
$1 million is all I'm asking, and I will leave the internet, and I will scrub the bottom of boats next to sharks for the rest of my life. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, for the listeners at home, what are you doing these days for a little bit of cash? You're putting yourself in shark-infested waters to clean the bottom of boats?
I'm glad you brought this up, Tony. No rumor could be farther from the truth. I am cashed up beyond belief. Right now, there are three women, not just one, three women polishing my toenails and putting on a fresh coat of clear coat because I'm not, you know, lighting the loafers. I'm just having a clear coat put on. And they're all three smiling because I paid them three times their value. And right now in my driveway, there is a Lamborghini that I get paid to drive because of some magical internet scheme that I worked up. And you can actually figure out how I do this by only paying $1,099.
Tony.
All you have to do is pay $1,099 for my Tony magic.
You're losing me, Tony.
All you have to do to figure out how I drive a Lamborghini is subscribe to my Tony magic, and it's $1,099. And no, the honest to God truth is, times have been low.
Can we restart?
No, we're not restarting. Honestly, that's the funniest thing you could ever put in a podcast. Can we please restart?
I hate this. I hate this episode the most out of anything we've ever done.
Why? I'm actually having the most fun.
I'm glad you're having fun. All right, whatever. Keep going.
Dude, you're throwing me under the bus. I haven't been like, hey, what are you doing for money?
No, I'm not throwing you. Oh, my God. I'm not throwing you under the bus about money. You're talking about your shark attack job.
My shark attack job. Yeah, it's my job now to get attacked by sharks. I actually...
I'm trying to throw you under the bus there. I just don't like the acting when we have to act and pretend.
I'm having so much fun right now. Why aren't you having fun, Tony?
Because I really enjoyed the conversation we're having earlier, where we're being super normal and candid.
But that's not for these people, Tony. These are the masses. All right, they're gonna subscribe and like and subscribe. I like this. We're doing good cop, bad cop. Keep going. This is really good.
Tony, you're in trouble.
I'm the bad cop.
Yeah. Have you seen the meme where there's an interrogator slapping someone and he's like, who cooked the rice? And there's shrimp spitting blood. He's like, shut the fuck up.
No way. I definitely have not seen that meme.
That's a good one.
Anyways,
there's a whole lot going on, folks, here at Dystopia Now. We're no longer in the newsroom.
Yeah, no, we're in the field together right now because, like, all of America has become a cesspool.
Yeah, we've left the news behind for today, and we're currently just hanging out, two dudes, getting attacked by sharks, eating some Taco Bell.
Okay, so like the shark
thing. There's a lot.
I am moonlighting underwater.
This all makes sense.
It will all make sense eventually. just hold your breath. I'm moonlighting underwater, okay, cleaning boats. And now that might sound like the worst labor job in America, and it actually might be.
I think it sounds cool.
But it's actually quite lucrative because it turns out the people like Jeff Bezos who have yachts, somebody's got to clean the bottom of the yacht that you can't see, and
they're always under there.
You just can't see them. They live under. There's people who live there. They have little compartments and they crawl in there at night. They never come up. They never come above the water. They're like mer people. And actually, there is a race of mer people that's been engineered by China, but we'll get into that later. But because they were like, yo, we want this cheaper, and so they're like, what if we just attach fishtails to people? And they're like, obviously. So
yeah,
why wouldn't you?
No, I heard about that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? And give them gills so they don't have to come up. We don't have to pay for air. They just stay down there, and then when they die, we take their organs. I mean, obviously.
How do you think they're retrieving the spy satellite, Tony?
Yeah, you mean this weather balloon?
Yeah, yeah. Which, by the way, by definition, not a spy balloon, is not very sneaky.
What do you okay, this is a great segue. What the fuck is this?
Hey, I just, okay, we'll get back to the story, but you're literally cleaning boats and you're afraid of getting attacked by a shark.
So I go into the water and I rub the bottom of boats. Like, it's no different than being a masseuse, but for material possessions. Because they're not, they're not alive.
I just want people to understand that this is not full, just nonsense.
Yeah, I'm actually doing this, people.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear about the process and the actual real possibility of getting attacked by a shark, because it happens a lot down there. But yeah, the freaking spy thing, like, what do you – I just think it's a psyop. I think it's fake. I think it's bullshit. I mean, they literally don't need a spy satellite attached to a balloon because we have TikTok. And this seems just like a way to put it in the minds of the masses that we're going to go to war with China and that Joe Biden's inept. And also, flat earthers have a lot to scream about right now because, like, see, I told you satellites aren't real. So I don't know what the fuck's real, but just this has stirred up a bunch of shit in all different kinds of ideological pools of people.
It's pretty brilliant from, like, a propaganda standpoint, because you could just be like, I mean, first of all, how long
with the most people with the least amount of shit? That's what they did.
Say that again.
Look, let's just attach a thing to that. What they said, they're sitting in a board meeting and they're like, how can we fuck with the most amount of people with the least amount of shit? Like, just attach a thing to a balloon. Genius.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's like, first of all, how do they control the direction of these things? Supposedly it has, like, a direction controlling system. So, like, it's not just floating around, okay? It can control which direction it goes, number one. Number two.
Is that true?
That's what they say. It's like, it has some kind of propellant or, like, yeah, it's not just, listen, first of all, if you're going to put a balloon up, you're not going to be like, hope this goes where I want it to go.
True.
I mean, like, but what are we doing here? What if it just goes and fucking, like, come on, man. It's so stupid.
But apparently during World War II, they were doing that. They were just putting bombs on balloons and just letting them float over. And
I did research this also, and I saw that. And they did these incendiary balloons from Germany. And they were like, okay, we're going to test these out, and we're going to see where they go. Right, and they were actually afraid that the trade, like the winds, would like blow some of them back into Germany, and they'd be like, some of those balloons supposedly made it from Germany to Chicago. Okay,
interesting.
Yeah, because they were in the upper atmosphere and whatever. I don't know how they were tracking them. They didn't have high level radar back then. They didn't have any of these modern tracking systems. I don't know how the fuck they knew that. But my point is this: hey, watch out with the F language.
Hey, is that why there's that song that's like 99 red balloons? Because I heard that song is about war.
Interesting, maybe. Maybe.
Unless it's just some more subliminal crap, I don't know.
Predictive programming tones.
Yeah.
Because, we were talking about Demolition Man and how every restaurant becomes Taco Bell, but we'll get into that later. But
And it ties in the shark somehow.
Oh, for sure, because everyone's seen Jaws, and they're like, just stay out of the water because you don't want to have any pleasure in your life or connect with the universe. Like, the universe is a terrifying place, and it will eat you. So stay in your house in Montana and just let the balloons float over you. Here's what's weird, okay? The amount of time that it was in the news cycle, and they were like, we just don't know what to do, that's bullshit. If this is an actual satellite that belongs to another country, you're telling me that our country, number one, didn't identify it the minute it came over our fucking border? And number two, couldn't make up their minds. We just don't know what to do. Give me a fucking break.
Don't we have laser beams and stuff?
Listen, man. If you think there isn't some kind of spacecraft that could go up there and grab that thing and be like, nope.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just don't believe that at all. I don't believe that narrative at all. Like a helicopter that can't go up there and be like, hey, why don't you come with me, balloon? We're just going to tie a rope to you. I just don't believe any of this. And we're just not sure if we should shoot it down.
Well, it reminds me of JFK and that plan that he denied where it was like, we're going to paint remote control fighter jets like they're Cuban and shoot them down.
That wasn't JFK. That wasn't him. That was not him. That was Operation Northwoods, and it came from the Joint Chiefs, or it was approved by the Joint Chiefs, but it was not birthed by him. It was birthed by the military.
No, I said that he denied it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. During his camp. Yeah, during his. Yes, that was called Operation Northwoods, and it came from the military-industrial complex. And they were like, you know how we can deal with Cuba? We're gonna fucking take. This is literally what they wanted to do. We're gonna have a jet filled with CIA people who are pretending to be passengers, and they're gonna get on the plane. Okay, probably in Miami or something. And they're going to take off, and then what they're going to do is land in a secret military base. And at the same time, a drone aircraft is going to take off. And it's going to get shot down over Cuba, so no people, whatever, it's a drone. And we're going to pretend that they shot down a civilian airliner. And then it's going to give us an excuse to go in. This is an absolute fact. It was approved by the Joint Chiefs, and it was vetoed by the president. That's the only reason it didn't happen. It is absolutely possible that that's what 9/11 was.
And it's absolutely possible that this is what the satellite is what I was trying to get at.
But there weren't any people up there. I mean, like, I...
No, I mean, it's more of a reason to ramp up war rhetoric with China.
Oh, yeah. Do I believe for a minute that was actually Chinese? Not really. Not really.
Yeah,
do you think we're just going to let a Chinese balloon float into our birthday party? Like, what are we talking about here?
You know what's also interesting is, like, how Nope came out recently. It was, like, in the posters full of balloons. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch, but I feel like...
Wait, what? What was this? Like, what was this? I don't know about this.
You haven't seen the movie poster for Nope?
What's Nope?
It's a movie about aliens, but, like, the cover, like the poster, the movie poster, it's just like a big cloud with like a bunch of balloons.
That's not a coincidence, man. The CIA definitely is influencing Hollywood. If you doubt that, go read the book The CIA and Hollywood.
Actually, I might be wrong about this movie poster, but
you better Google it real quick, Tones.
Yeah. It's Nope movie poster. Hold on.
I think it's interesting that it's called Nope.
Yeah.
Like how presumptuous. Okay,
so it's not balloons. It's a giant cloud in the sky with a trail of Christmas lights attached to it. I don't know, it's just a weird imagery. It just reminded me of a balloon.
Well, all that matters is your subconscious connected the two things, and that's probably exactly what it was intended to do.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you think this is just more Project Bluebeam stuff?
I mean, I don't think that the satellite was Bluebeam, but...
Yeah, but could it possibly have been? Like, hey, what's up in the skies? Maybe you should look up.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely putting people's attention on the sky.
What do you think about all those videos from New Year's that people were like, whoa, we were just filming the fireworks and I saw the spaceship?
Did you
see all those?
On the last podcast, did we?
I don't know. Did we?
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing. Everyone's attention being pointed towards the sky is always sus just because, like, I think everything is actually going on underground, all the weird stuff. And, like, you know, CERN, deep underground military bases, whatever. And it's ironic to me that Elon Musk names his tunnel company the Boring Company. Like, it's, like, subconsciously telling, like, don't pay attention to this. This is boring. And then he has, like, SpaceX, look up in the sky.
We're going to the moon, and Steve Aoki's coming with us.
We're going to fucking Mars.
Steve Aoki's coming to the moon.
Is that really his name?
Are you serious?
Wait, did he say Steve Aoki's going with them?
Sorry. Are you serious? You don't know about this?
What? Uh-uh.
Bro, look this up, okay? He's taking a trip to the moon soon in his new rocket, which has like 64 jet engines, and they're just doing a static test this week. And all these celebrities are going with him, including Steve Aoki. And they're going to go to the moon, bro. You haven't heard about this?
Let me see.
Just type in Elon Musk. Steve Aoki. Yeah.
Steve Aoki on crew for first civilian flight to the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bro, he's crew, bro. He's working. He's going to be serving drinks.
So what do you think? We're going to see, like, a horrible CGI video of them on the moon, or what do you think?
Or some horrible disaster in real life of this thing just exploding.
Everyone just dies?
I don't know. Have you seen this new rocket? It's got, like, 100 engines on it. It just looks ridiculous.
No. I gotta see this.
Bro, look up Moon Rocket Steve Aoki.
Hold on.
This is what we're here to do. I'm telling you, the fact that they're like, yo, bro, and all these people are going, and like, supposedly Elon's going to be on this flight. I guarantee you he's not going to be on this flight. He's like, y'all go. I'll just be here.
I'll be there in a minute.
Listen, somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to make sure it goes good. You guys go.
Yeah.
It's like the dude. It's like the dude who's smart enough to not go on the beer run.
Right.
You know, like y'all are way too fucked up for this beer run, so I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah, could you imagine?
No, they're pretending that they're gonna go to the moon. We haven't been to the moon since 72, if you believe Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Mr. Reddit scientist.
Yeah, who just destroyed his whole career recently.
Oh, this is... What?
I'm telling you, man, this is gold. This is propaganda gold right here.
Bro, one of the people who's going was the CEO of Zozo Inc. You know what Zozo is, right? You know what Zozo is,
why don't
right?
you tell our listeners, Nick?
A demon.
What do you mean?
A little demon.
What do you mean?
The name Zozo is a demon.
Yeah, but okay. You have to give more context and give the background for that company and why you think that.
I'm just saying that this guy, one of the people going, was the CEO of Zozo Inc., which is just an interesting name for your company, considering Zozo was like this phenomenon not too long ago where kids were trying to channel Zozo on a Ouija board. And a bunch of fucked up stuff was supposedly happening.
So hold on. Look up that guy. Let's go down a rabbit hole on him. Why did he name his company after a demon that killed kids? And why is he on spacecraft to the moon?
Here's one article. It just says Zozo, the Ouija board's most famous demon. But then I'll say Zozo Inc. What do they do? Zozo Inc. is a Japanese-based company operating internet shopping site for apparel.
They make Ouija boards.
Named after a Ouija board demon.
Probably just a coincidence.
No, have you ever seen Led Zeppelin's cover?
Which one?
Hold on, let me see which one it is. So apparently they have like four symbols. Like there's the Zo-So, then there's like the Trinity, and the Celtic.
The Trinity is related to like the trident, and that's another demon.
Yeah, and then there's one that's just a feather inside of a circle.
Yeah.
Anyways, everything is a demon.
That might be divinity, you know, the feather in the circle. That actually might be beautiful. The white dove.
Oh yeah, Led Zeppelin, the guys who bought Aleister Crowley's house, probably.
Yeah, the guys who put a shark in a woman's vagina, probably nice people.
Did they do that?
You didn't know about this?
See, I told you, folks, everything would make sense at the end. Sharks, Taco Bell.
Okay, yeah! So what? Listen, during a very, very famous session, okay, of orgies at a particular place in Los Angeles, they took a dead baby shark and used it as a dildo.
That's horrific.
And if you know about sharks, their skin is smooth in one direction and not smooth in the other.
Oh, my God. Did this lady get super fucked up?
I don't know what the outcome was. It was like a small shark. This is well documented. Hold on. Look up.
Okay, I should look this
up. No, please. Please do this. Led Zeppelin shark groupie. Just type that in.
Okay.
This is dark, folks. I'm sorry this got turned weird, but you know what? That's why you come here.
Led Zeppelin shark story comes right up.
Oh, dude. This is not even a secret. This has been well known for like 100 years. Because that happened 1,000 years ago.
So this is from classic rock.
Find a more reputable. There's going to be a million stories on this.
Can I just read what this says?
Yeah, but like, there's going to be a million stories on this, and I want you to read a good one. Like maybe find Matt Taibbi or somebody who's super reputable. Or
oh, here I got you. I found Snopes.
I will cut this out of the podcast. I will cut this out. I do not accept any fucking, I'm sorry. Those guys have been caught lying about everything for so fucking long. Fuck Snopes. I do not endorse Snopes. I hope they burn in hell. No fact checker website will ever be cited on this show. Go to a fucking reasonable
I was literally calling you out for being silly about the sources, and then that's why I suggested Snopes for you.
No, I do not want to ever hear a fact checker website. That's lazy research. We are not lazy. Fuck Snopes.
It was a joke. You do not understand the joke.
I'm thick.
Bro, I'm retarded.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm saying.
I'm kind of retarded.
I'm kind of retarded,
Alex,
Nick.
Alex Jones.
No, I'm kind of retarded. I need you.
Here,
I need
Rolling
you to
Stone.
Listen, Nick. I need you to tell me what really happened. I'm a little retarded.
I have the documents. It's from
Rolling
Stone.
I've got the documents.
Okay.
Listen, Joe Rogan, we got the documents.
The Mud Shark, the Hermit, and the Stairway to Hell. We fact-checked the rumors.
Bro!
This is Rolling Stone.
No, listen. Who wrote it?
Andy Green? Is that good enough?
I don't fucking know that guy, but I'll tell you whether or not this is bullshit because this has been well known. Okay, and
I wanted to read the rumor and just have an idea, but you won't let me read anything.
Okay, no, I want you to read this, but I'm going to tell you, if they say something's not true, I might be like, that's a lie. But go ahead. Listen, Rolling Stone is fucking turned into garbage. I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm not trying to pick these things. This is what I have to choose from, okay?
All that matters is they took a groupie and they put a shark in her pussy. And if they don't admit that that's true, then they're fucking lying. Because everyone knows this fucking happened. But go on.
I don't even need to read it. I saw enough links. I believe it.
Okay, go ahead. Read it. I want to see what they say.
Times may have changed, but our enthusiasm for salacious rock and roll stories remains undiminished. We try and get to the bottom of one of music's most infamous tales. Was it a fish or a shark? Were Led Zeppelin really involved? Did it even happen at all?
Fuck you! These are bullshit questions. Everyone knows this happened.
All right. Anyways, what is the point of that?
Keep going. I'm sorry. It's just me being dumb.
No, I mean, what's the point? Like, do we have anything to go off of this story?
Yes, because it was fucking, like, it's everyone know the groupies were present. Multiple people. Oh, a lot of people were present.
It was a teen.
Oh, yeah, she was underage.
Yeah, New York Post says, groupie hell Led Zeppelin molested teen with fish. The incident, which is detailed in Bob Splitz' new book, Led Zeppelin, the biography, went down at the end of a tour with Vanilla Fudge in Seattle. Or this incident went down at the end of a tour with Vanilla Fudge in Seattle. The road managers for both bands, Richard Cole for Zeppelin and Bruce Wayne for Vanilla Fudge. Bruce Wayne's Batman was there. That's crazy. These guys had caught a bunch of mud sharks and red snappers while fishing from a waterfront room at the Edgewater Inn. They brought their haul to John.
Hold on.
Jones
they were
room.
Fishing from their hotel room and they caught a bunch of sharks and one of these assholes stuck one in one of the girls' pussies. Just think about how fucked up these people were.
Yeah, a 17-year-old groupie named Jackie. After Jackie got high, Bruce Wayne told her to take off her clothes. Once she was naked, they started hitting her with the fish, and it left the little teeth marks on her back. Things got pretty ugly, pretty intense, so he went out into the hall where Bonzo, the Led Zeppelin drummer, and his wife, Pat, joined us, and we watched the action through the door. Other voyeurs would join them in the hall. In fact, we were invited to bring our wives to take a look, recalls Zeppelin frontman Robert Plant. But after a while, we left because it was all a bit unsavory. So apparently it was the drummer doing this, and all the other guys were like, let's just, you know.
Bro, these guys were just going fucking apeshit in the 60s on fucking
gross.
Speed and drugs. Being like, we got all these fish. Like, let's just throw them at these chicks and, like, fuck them with them and stuff. Like, you talk about depravity, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you get when you,
become famous and sell your soul to sell your soul to Satan.
Channel. Yeah, sell your soul to Satan, exactly.
Okay, so they admit it was real.
It's in a book. It's in a book about Led Zeppelin.
I mean, if it's in a book, it must be real. That's what I heard.
Exactly. Everything in books is real.
Which brings me to my next point about you ranching in Argentina.
No.
Ah, it's in a book, bro. It must be real.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, Tony.
I know, because you don't want to ruin your future prospects of like generational wealth, but like you are moving to a ranch in Argentina, right?
I mean, this is not meant for on the air, but this is part of the reason why Dystopia Now is not in the newsroom. We are kind of...
Bro, we're reporting from the streets live.
Bro, could you imagine? Hey, guys, coming soon, me and Maverick are just going to walk the streets of Florida and interview people for Dystopia Now.
Bro, that would be amazing.
Would it not? Like, all these TikToks are running around.
In
like,
fucking hey, Key West.
Hit, would you hit? And, like, that's the dumbest shit ever. Like, we should ask real.
What are they asking? Like, what are they asking? Like, would you hit?
In Bruce Wayne's pussy. But what?
What are these TikTokers doing?
There's just, like, kids running around just interviewing people being like, yo, do you and your girlfriend trust each other? And then they'll be like, yeah, yeah, we love each other. And they'd be like, trade phones. And then they break up. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's staged. But it's just like the same dumb shit. Like, everyone's just like, yo, would you rather have a girl with a fat ass or big boobs? And like, it's just like all over TikTok.
Shallow,
and like, these are the interviews that people are doing.
Bro, listen, folks.
Or then they'll ask like really simple questions like, what is the state with the most corn? And then they'll answer and be like, here's $100. And then they probably ask for it right back. And they're like, yeah, thanks for, I'll follow you. I'm famous.
I told you a couple of times I've been like fucked with by like YouTubers or people doing whatever. And one of them was when I was like shooting pool in this pool hall alone. I was like feeling Mr. Sad Guy. And I was like over on a table just like working a rack out by myself. Just like playing pool, having a drink, trying to fucking decompress, be quiet. And like this dude walks over and like blasts the balls, not even like properly with the thing, but like a baseball bat. He just like looks at me and goes, ha-ha! And like I look over and there's this other guy with a phone filming this, and I go, okay, guy. And he goes, oh man. He goes, if I can use this content, I'll buy you a drink. And I go, you can't use this content. Just go away from me. He's like, we're just YouTubers, bro. And I'm like, that's good for you. Like, be cool. Like, but just fucking, you do not have permission to use my image and go away from me. He's like, sorry, man. And they felt like really like legitimately bad because you could tell that they were used to people being like, oh my God, you're famous YouTubers. You know what I mean? and like just getting away with like whatever they do. And I was
just
like,
a prank, bro.
Yeah. Is this a prank, bro? Like, you're going to be famous. And I was like, number one, you do not have you. I expressly deny you permission to use my image and my likeness, and like just please let me go back to being sad and alone. And they're like, we're sorry, man. That's happened to me multiple times in weird scenarios where people are just like, hey, we're trying to make a buck.
They did they give you a drink anyways?
They did, actually. They sent a drink over anyways.
Good.
Yeah,
that's the right thing to do.
No, that is actually, and they kept giving me sad looks for the rest of the evening in the bar, like we're sorry, bro, like you're obviously the podfather, like like you didn't fall for our bullshit celebrity. That's so funny you said that. That's exactly what they did. But yeah. But like I do feel sad for this younger generation. That's like, what are you gonna do for a living? Oh, I'm gonna be a famous YouTuber. Like,
yeah.
Like what?
We don't need those. We need farmers.
Well, all you're saying is, I'm gonna try to get attention for no reason at all. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, it's the new. You know, it's dark, man. It's the new version. Oh. It's the new version of the serial killer.
I mean, I don't. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know where that. How do you? Okay, why?
Because you haven't given anything away. All you're doing is taking. And just because you're
for
not
fame,
taking life,
for fame?
Just because you're not taking a life doesn't mean you're not taking people's attention and lives away, and giving and turning it into nothing. You're turning it into something meaningless. You're not creating something artistic.
Sure.
What's that?
It is a psychotic pandemic or phenomenon for sure.
It's like, a mind.
I mean, it's definitely a mentally ill thing.
Yeah. Well, you're not adding anything. You're just expecting to get something for nothing.
What I was going to say is, like, not necessarily that it's the new serial killer, but it's, like, the new form of just, like, people interacting in general, because no one interacts anymore. So the only way to interact with people is to have a bunch of followers that be like, yes, 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 you're worth people's time. Yes, 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 we love you. Like, subscribe. Yeah. And because no one really is friends anymore. So like they have to have fake friends, millions of them online. So they feel, does that make sense? Because we live in the metaverse essentially.
Well, it doesn't make sense, but I agree with what you're saying, because people don't know that those people aren't real friends. They don't know what friends are. The definition of the word friend is right now being changed. And it's becoming followers. And none of those people are your friends.
Well, acquaintances, yeah. Everyone's an acquaintance. Well, everyone is, dude, life you know has what been I'm saying, though? You see what I'm saying? To such an extent, everything is about something. Everything is about something else than what it is.
Do you see what I'm saying, though, about like the difference between a follower and an actual friend?
Yeah, and everything's about like business in some way. Everything's been gamified. Like I was like, you know, everyone has to make content. Everyone has to do something for content one way or another. People are like, I love cooking, so I'm just gonna turn it into content, and then I can collect gold coins. Like everything's a game now.
Here's where that. So I actually believe that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with what you just said. Here's where that breaks down, is when people don't actually have anything to create as content. When they're not good at cooking, when they don't actually create a skill, and they're just like, "Hey, I'm gonna make bullshit. I'm gonna chase a balloon. I'm gonna chase a balloon around a room.
There's nothing wrong with it inherently, but I just think like it's made life less enjoyable because the people that are like the kids that are growing up and watching all this, they're gonna think that everything has to like everyone's passion has to be their job. Everyone's passion has to be commodified. Everyone's like. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, like, I understand completely where you're coming from. We're on the same page, but what I'm trying to say is what I believe is actually happening is they're trying to commodify nothing. Instead of creating a passion, they're being like, what can I fake as a passion?
That's true too. That's 100% true. That's probably the easiest way to do this whole thing.
But I think it would actually be really beautiful if people who actually had real skills were just sharing those skills. Like I watch some chefs online that make crazy food. I watch all kinds of people who have real passions, and you're like, oh, these people actually put their life into a skill. The way that I see this going bad is by people creating content out of nothing.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'm just saying, and there is something beautiful about taking a real hard-earned skill and putting it online and getting the recognition you deserve. There's something beautiful about that. But I just fear for the coming generation where they're going to think that they can't just do something passionately for just the purpose of doing it.
Right.
It's like, oh, you get what I'm saying?
No, I totally do. And I think like, you know what it is? It's, I heard Earl Nightingale say this a long time ago, and I don't know the actual language that he used, but this is a motivational speaker from like the 50s. And he was
I love that guy.
Yeah. And essentially he said, like, you can't seek affirmation from other people. You have to do things for your own self-interest. And I don't mean like selfishly. I mean like the passions that you chase, you have to do them because you are truly passionate about them, not because of the affirmations you get from other people. And literally, this media is teaching people the opposite.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of some actually super old wisdom where Carl Jung quoted something else, but I don't remember what it was, but he said something like there's an ancient phrase about the alchemist who does his work in solitude will eventually attract the right seekers who wish to help him. And that's true. Like, at least in my own life, you know, you sit there and hone your craft, and then all these people start finding you because it just naturally...
You know, it's supposed to work. I think he actually said something like, when the student is ready, the master appears.
Well, I mean, he said that too, but what I'm talking about
is and it goes both ways. It goes both ways, right? Like once you become a master, then the students appear. And it's supposed
to it's like the monk in the mountains, you know? Those dudes just sit there. They don't do anything, they don't call anyone, they don't send out any emails, but people walk up the mountain to go seek them because they have something that they don't. And so those people are talking to people all the time, but are they asking for people to come talk to them because they're so smart? No, not at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is the interesting way to end this, you know, is thinking like here we are, you and I, reaching out into the into the ether, into the metaverse, into the etherverse, whatever, and saying, hey, we feel like we have something interesting to contribute. But at the same time, there's a reason that you and I aren't Joe Rogan. And it's because Joe Rogan became Joe Rogan because he had the same attitude that we did, where he didn't give a fuck. And once he made it to the top, then the entire mechanism changed. And no one else is ever going to make it to the top by not giving a fuck now. They have to give a fuck. And that means that people like us, who are sort of on the fringe and kind of wrestle with how much of a fuck we should give, you know, that automatically puts us in the middle of the deck at best. Because there are so many people who are like, oh no, I definitely give a fuck. And I'm going to sell my entire image and soul and all this stuff to have an opinion and fucking to be noticed. Important. Yeah, be noticed. I'm going to be noticed. Yeah. And you and I wrestle with this a lot. And I actually, it's one of the biggest things I respect about you. And that's why we're still friends, is because we both see in each other like, yeah, but we don't take that too seriously. It definitely will never be the most important thing.
It's hubris.
Yes.
I think the nameless people are the greatest heroes in history, honestly. They're the people who keep shit going. All the other people are just fucking, I don't know, like,
dude, this is that Philip K. Dick quote that I used in the introduction of my book.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the that Philip K. Dick quote.
Selling horses.
All right, so let's give the shame. You ready to
Argentina?
Are you ready to give the shameless pitch?
I just did. I gave people enough.
So I stepped on you though. So give it again cleanly.
There is a book somewhere out there, mysterious.
Yeah, this is great. Keep going. Keep going.
Bro, what is fucking up with your speaker? You keep going. I hope this records okay.
Dude, it sounds perfect on my end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways,
there's a book out there. You said there's a book out there somewhere.
Oh my God, you're just talking about. Oh my God. Maverick wrote the greatest book in history. there's a story in there about me, which is important. And it's about me selling zebras in Argentina. I didn't approve of it, but Maverick wrote it anyways. And fucking go buy it. Give him all of your money. All the available side income you have. Just buy multiple copies.
Listen, I want to read a quote from Philip K. Dick that I use in the introduction to this book, and it does have the truth about Nick Hinton in the end, and he is going to be living on a private 10,000-acre biological ranch in Argentina, and he's going to be breeding miniature
zebras. What is a biological ranch?
It's like, listen, that's for me to know. That's for me to know and for you to find out.
A biological ranch.
Yeah, it's a biological research facility. Is that better?
Thank you, because you're making it sound like the DNA of the ranch is.
Yeah,
like,
bro, it's a biological. So you don't know what a biological ranch is? Let's end this episode with this Philip K. Dick quote. Go to my website, maverickmatthews.com, and buy the book, The Wreath of Madness. Nick is a profit share model. On this book, he gets a certain percentage of every book that I sell, and it's because I unashamedly use his likeness in the final story, which is a lot of fun. This is a book about family and failure. It's beautiful, but Philip K. Dick actually sums
it up. Hold on. And I will say that you worked really hard on it, and it is beautiful. The stuff that's not about me in Argentina.
The stuff that's about you is beautiful. It's just funny.
I know. I like the other stuff. I like the other stuff because it's a true story. About heartbreak and being a father, and
thank you.
The trials and tribulations.
That means a lot to me, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. And one thing I wanted to say just before you read this Philip K. Dick quote: I don't think it's hopeless to try and make it and become someone while not giving a fuck. I don't think that should be the point of your life, is to become someone. But I think this pendulum is going to swing back and forth, and people are going to resonate with those who don't give a fuck, because it's becoming so cookie cutter. That's going to be the old shit soon. Like, there's going to be a new counterculture. There always is. Like, everyone's getting sick of this, you know, the self-censored bullshit. Like, it's just, it's all fake. And I think real people can sense that.
Absolutely, man. And this new woke culture is fake. And this plays right into
authentic human beings.
Say that again?
And this plays right into the concept of authentic human beings, which is in that quote you're about to read.
Fuck yeah, man. I really appreciate that. That's great of you to say. Because you know what? The book that I wrote is very sad, but it's not hopeless. It comes out right in the end, you know, it finishes with like, okay, but this is just where we are. And I know right that a lot of people feel that way in our country right now and in the world. It doesn't matter what they're doing in Davos with the World Economic Forum. It doesn't matter what all these billionaires or the deep state or Elon or all these motherfuckers are doing. It doesn't matter. There will always be hope. Nature will always find a way. And
there'll always literally be mavericks. There's people that are trailblazers that tear down the old culture. And then unfortunately what happens is they do create a new culture, but then the world slowly morphs around that thing and usurps it again. But that's the process of death and rebirth, you know?
And you unfortunately, know, people like us, we get hung up on crosses, but that's perfectly fine.
Okay, all right, read the quote.
I mean, we do. I'm not afraid it happens. Just buy the book first.
I don't eat beans.
I don't eat meat or beans. I eat meat a lot. Okay, here we go. This is from Philip K. Dick. The authentic human being is one of us who instinctively knows what he should not do. And, in addition, he will balk at doing it. He will refuse to do it, even if it brings down dread consequences to him or to those he loves. This, to me, is the ultimate heroic trait of ordinary people. They say no to the tyrant, and they calmly take the consequences of this resistance. Their deeds may be small, and always, almost always, unnoticed, unmarked by history. Their names are not remembered. I see their authenticity in an odd way. Not in their willingness to perform great heroic deeds, but in their quiet refusals. In essence, they cannot be compelled to be what they are not.
Cranston, injury law.
Okay.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was absolute coincidence that Cranston, injury law came in there.
That is so funny.
Dude, that is beautiful, actually, that it perfectly ended right there.
That's amazing.
Well, we did our job today, Mr. Hinton.
Are we still on the air? Can we say one more thing?
Yeah, no, we're on, but I'm not sure this will make it in. I'll squeeze it in. I'll change the... No. Yeah, no, we have 3 minutes left. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I think Philip K. Dick is 100% correct, because one thing I find really interesting is that, you know, we're battling against all these different transhumanist technologies, psychotronic weapons, satellites, and all this crap.
Are you Chinese?
And you know the last time this happened, you know when it was, is the Vietnam War, and they're using all these different psyops and all these different tactics to warp people's brains, make them think ghosts were talking to them, and all this different shit. And guess who won the war? The farmers.
Not
the simple
us.
Farmers.
That's right.
Not us. The farmers. And that's exactly what it's going to be in this country again.
Oh my God! Do you think we're about to have a fucking
1776 will commence again? Sorry.
Bro, do you think we're about to have a fucking Vietnam in our own country?
Yeah, it's looking like it.
Whoa, that's pretty deep.
All the farmsteaders, or all the homesteaders, dude, they're getting harassed and shut down, and that's scary too. There's a guy who disappeared. Greg Carlwood talked about him, hoping that guy's okay. I don't know that much about the story. I just got into it a little bit, but yeah, I mean, shit's getting weird.
Well. It's a good thing
keep
I don't.
The good fight.
It's a good thing I don't own a ranch in North Idaho that no one should ever pay any attention to.
It's a good thing I actually don't own any zebras on a farm in Argentina.
Good, yeah, that you're gonna start selling to the world masses. But you know what? The best way you can support Tony and I is by going to his Twitter. What's your Twitter?
My Twitter's taken down right now.
Are you serious?
I'm taking a break, Tony.
Oh, okay. I thought you got canceled. Okay, fine.
No.
All right. Well, in that case, go to my website, maverickmatthews.com. Purchase my new book, The Wreath of Madness. Nick Hinton has a profit share on that, full disclosure. We haven't determined the amount yet, but there is a wonderful story about his growing miniature donkeys and zebras in Argentina, and that is how we will create generational wealth to exceed the Rosicrucians and the Rothschilds. You don't ever want to actually say that word correctly, because then they just put a laser beam on your head. So
this was a beautiful episode, though, I will say.
Actually, this was a lot of fun, man. This was really beautiful.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. And we could just cut out all the stuff about you painting your toenails because you were losing me there.
I like, honestly, there's a part of me that is kind of finds a lot of fun in making you uncomfortable, because like that's what the, that's what that's what the fun is.
It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I just like, ah.
I wasn't painting my toenails. If you recall, I had three helpers here who were putting a clear coat on them.
Oh yeah, yeah. That makes a difference.
Slays. I mean, anyway. I love you, buddy, and big thanks to our number one sponsor, Cranston Injury Law.
And, yeah, they made sure to get their promo.
Yeah, and we will be back next time on Dystopia Now.
Now, not in the studio.
Yeah, no longer pretending to be fake news.
And that is all she wrote for this week's episode of Mindfire, featuring Dystopia Now, which is a conversation between Nick Hinton and Maverick Matthews. You have been listening to Fringe FM, KTLK, fringe.fm on the interwebs. Again, if you want to listen to any of the older episodes of this show, go to fringe.fm and click on the Mindfire page and check out the archives that are there. Or you can go to maverickmatthews.com for more information about where I'll be. And I will see you next week. Same place, same time. Mindfire.
Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferndorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage. And Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine. And they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.